The scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26, and can be found on page 4 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. Jesus is speaking to the crowd in what has become known as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has done something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First to be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." May God bless the reading of his holy word.
Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the sun coming out, God. We feel like we haven't seen her in a while, and it's good to gather on this day that you have made and to come together around the reading of the Word and the understanding of this Word. And so we're asking, Lord, that you would guide our hearts and minds in the way of Jesus so that we can hear you speak in Christ's name. Amen. So those of you who worship at APC regularly know that on the first Sunday of the month, as today, we come to the table. We have this very special sacrament of the church that we call communion. And we're going to have communion in just a little while. And when we come to the table, the pastor in almost every church will say very similar words. We're quoting words that Jesus said that we also find in the Bible. They're called the words of institution, technically, that are said at the time of communion. And so we come to the table, and I'll say, when it's time for us to share the bread, reminding us of his body, he'll say, "On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having blessed it, he broke it and said, 'Take and eat. This is my body broken and given for you. Do this to remember me.'" Anyone heard that before? Okay, you're all with me. All with me on that one. And then we get to the cup. And he said, "This cup is a new covenant. A new covenant shed for you in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. All of you drink of it to remember me." A new covenant. That phrase is very significant. When you hear the word covenant in the Bible, it's one of the most important words in all of the Scripture. The covenant is the word that describes the relationship between God and God's people. That's called a covenant. It's kind of a formal contract. Actually, covenants were made in all kinds of things, but it was the word that was used to describe God's ongoing relationship with God's people and the stipulations that that covenant, that relationship required or expected of the people who were part of God's family, part of God's covenant community. Jesus suddenly stands up and he says, "I have a new covenant." And the question is, what did Jesus mean by that? And this has been debated by theologians for 2,000 years. When Jesus said, this is a new covenant, the question is, what did he mean exactly? How new is this? And when I say that, you know, when we say something is new, we have different understandings of new, right? So, for instance, in the car dealer industry, cars will come out with a new model. And you have to say, well, is this simply kind of an upgrade of last year's model with a few new gadgets on it? Or have they gone back and really retooled the car and come out with a completely different model, a completely different engine or drivetrain or the other things that really make a car extremely different? In other words, when Jesus said this is a new covenant, is he saying this is kind of an upgrade of what you've already had? Or is he saying this is a complete break with everything that has happened before? And people are talking about this. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, JC and Karen and Maureen and I went out to a conference in Lancaster led by a guy named Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley is the pastor of one of the largest churches in America right now. It's called North Point Church in Atlanta. And he's a very, very interesting guy. And basically what he said is, when Jesus said, I have come to bring a new covenant, it is a complete break with the old. In fact, now the old covenant is completely obsolete. It doesn't matter anymore. And in fact, there are huge portions of the Old Testament that Christians, according to Andy Stanley, shouldn't even read, shouldn't even bother with. All the old legal codes and things, those things are gone. They are completely obsolete. They don't count anymore. The image that he uses is like when you go to get a new cell phone, what do you do with the old phone? Do you kind of still hold on to it and you keep it? No, the old phone, you don't even know where it is. He said, you trade it in, it's gone. You throw it, it is completely gone. And he said, that's what Jesus had in mind when he spoke to his disciples on the night before he was killed. He said, I have done something completely new. This is a break with the old. And I'm wrestling with that. I'm thinking about it. And one place where it kind of comes to a focus is in Matthew chapter 5. This is the first of the beginning of this very important section of teaching that Jesus gives us called the Sermon on the Mount. A lot of people have heard of the Sermon on the Mount. They say it is the greatest compilation of Jesus' ethical teaching, and it starts in chapter 5. And in chapter 5, there are a series of six statements that are famously called by theologians the six antitheses. The six antitheses, because Jesus sets himself up against, anti, the theses of the Old Testament. Jesus, in other words, is challenging the Bible. He's questioning the scriptures, the teachings that these people had grown up with as God's word to them. Jesus is questioning and in some ways reversing or attacking. They all begin with the same thing. It has been said, ... but I say to you, it's not and. He doesn't say, it has been said, and I'm going to add on to this. He says, it has been said, but I am saying something else. Jesus is putting himself up as an authoritative teacher on par, in fact, superior to Moses, who was a supposed author of the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. This is an extraordinary place for us to spend a little bit of time. Now, obviously, in this very brief time, I don't have the opportunity to unpack each of these six statements, these six teachings. I'm just going to touch on them very briefly so you get an idea. And again, some of you will say, oh, I've heard this before. So the first one was the one that we read this morning, the first of these six. It has been said, you shall not murder. But I say to you, even if you are angry in your heart, or if you insult somebody, or you call somebody a fool, you are slaying them in the same way as if you had actually taken their life. That's basically what Jesus is saying. He says, the law says you shall not take someone else's life, but I say to you, you need to be careful about how you treat all of your relationships and ask yourself, are you killing someone's spirit by the anger, the grudge that you're carrying in your heart? Are you killing them by the way you're speaking about them to other people? Are you taking care about the language that you use? Are you calling people, labeling them in a way that's putting them down, that's derogatory? Your language is as important as your action, says Jesus. Jesus gets down underneath the essence of what this thing is, because people are saying, well, you know what? I've never killed anybody, so I'm good with that law. And so whether or not I'm bitter, I'm angry, I have wrath in my heart, I'm putting people down, there's no law against those things, so I'm pretty good here. Jesus doesn't let us off the hook. The second one is very similar. It says, in the law, it says, you shall not commit adultery. We talked about that as one of the Ten Commandments. But I say to you, even if you are looking with lust at someone else, it's as if you're committing adultery with them. In other words, the attitude of your heart is as important as the actions of your hands. You know, I hear a lot of guys say, hey, it's okay to look. Jesus says it's not okay to look. That's bad. To look at somebody lustfully, even if you never act upon that, he says that is the same thing. He gets down underneath the letter of the law and gets into the spirit of the law, and it's so challenging to us because we are a culture of lust. We are a culture that encourages lustfulness. But Jesus won't have anything to do with it. The third one has to do with divorce. It says, in the law, you are allowed to write a letter divorcing your wife. But I'm telling you, if you leave your wife, except unless in the case that she has been unfaithful to you, you're committing adultery and causing her to commit adultery as well. In other words, Jesus says, marriage is serious business. This idea that you own your wife and you can just write a letter and sell her like a piece of property is not in accordance with God's purpose for marriage. Marriage is to be a partnership between two people lived for life in which you work through things together and you don't treat each other as disposable. Jesus gets down and dirty with the real things of life, and he says these loopholes, this idea that you can just sort of casually get in and out of marriage is not what God had in mind when he said, and the two become one and live as one flesh. Jesus has a different take on these laws. Jesus says, on the fourth one, he said, you know, this idea of swearing by an oath in order to sort of say, you know, I'm telling the truth here. He says, that's ridiculous. He says, in other words, some things I say might not be true, but when I swear by an oath, then they really are. You know, that's where we've gotten this terrible habit as a culture of saying, I swear to God. I swear to God. People say that all the time. I swear to God. You know, and we don't even think about it. It's just, it kind of rolls out of our tongue. I swear to God. You know what we're doing? What we're saying is, most of the time when I tell you things, it's not really true, but now what I'm telling you is honest. I swear to God. I swear to God. I'll meet you after school. I swear to God. You know, I didn't cheat on the test. I swear to God. I didn't cheat. You know, and actually what you're saying is you're probably telling me another lie now. Jesus said, stop all this I swear to God stuff. He said, just be a person who's honest, whose word is their bond. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And then he says about revenge and retaliation. It has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. In other words, if somebody does something to you, you do the same thing back to them, but only to the same degree they have. Because it used to be, two eyes for an eye, and a whole mouth of teeth for one. Jesus said, you know, that seems like fair, but I'm telling you, turn the other cheek. He says, this idea of revenge, of getting back at somebody at the same measure of whatever they've done to him, he said, that is simply going to prolong the cycle of violence and harm. He said, if you're my followers, you turn the other cheek. If somebody makes you walk a mile, go ahead and walk too. If they say, I'm going to take your coat, give them your undershirt as well. He said, in other words, break the cycle of violence and revenge. Take upon yourself the extra amount of harm. And if you don't understand what that looks like, just watch what I'm going to do for you in a couple of years on the cross. The final one of the six is, it has been said, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. By so doing, you become children of God. My question is this, what kind of new teaching is this? Now, Maureen just told the kids a little while ago that Jesus did not live in as a litigious society as we do today, and so she didn't want them to carry the kid up the stairs and drop him. But Maureen, I must take exception. Jesus lived in an extraordinarily litigious society. In other words, people took the letter of the law so seriously and felt as long as they were living by every letter of the law, they were good with God. Jesus simply does away with all of that, folks. That way of living is done in this new covenant community. Jesus' teachings, on the one hand, are so much harder. They're so much more extreme. But on the other hand, they're actually quite a bit simpler. Jesus pares it all down. He gets underneath of the significance and the meaning of all of these codes and laws that people were striving to live by. He says, you can be following all the little rules of the law, but miss the big picture altogether. You give yourself all these little loopholes to kind of say, well, I didn't do that, so even though I'm doing all this other stuff, I'm good. Jesus said, you're not good. If you're living with anger in your heart, if you're returning evil for evil, if you're not showing love and respect to all people, if you're looking with lust, even if you're not acting on it, he said, there are serious, serious issues here that are separating you from God. And we need to take those things seriously. And so we come to this table, and this table is the symbol of this new covenant, this new way of being in relationship with God. And the question is, are we living Jesus' way? Or do we still say, well, I haven't done that, and I haven't done this, and I'm good, and I'm a little better than that guy over there. Jesus' relationship with us is one that goes deep into every heart, that makes us question our motivations and what's behind things. But friends, that is our covenant. That is our relationship. The world may say one thing, but Jesus says something else. But Jesus says. But Jesus says. God, may we hear only you and only your voice as we live into this new covenant, God. The old things have passed away. They are no longer binding on us. But these new commandments, God, are very hard and very challenging because they get to the very heart of who we are and the heart of our lives. God, refine those parts of our heart that are far from you and bring us back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.